This morning, we will be rounding off what we saw last Lord's Day as we began our series in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, especially looking at verses 4 through 8a about the character and the quality of love that we as Christians are to manifest before a watching world. And we need to remember that Paul addresses these words to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. These words are certainly addressed to you and to me if we confess Jesus to be our Lord. Have you found that 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians? If you're using the Bible in your pew and would like to read along, you'll find the chapter begins on page 1786. Hear now the Word of God. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Let's look to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we continue to call upon you to be pleased to instruct us again through this portion of your word. May your Holy Spirit draw near unto us as we draw near unto you, that we might enjoy the milk and the meat of your word and so grow in your grace as day by day we die more and more to sin and live more and more freely in the righteousness that we enjoy in Jesus Christ, so that we may love as we have been loved. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Last Lord's Day, we learned that love suffers long. Many would call this the passive or the silent form of love. suffer long. This morning we learn that love is kind. Many would call this an active or a vocal form of love. And I would agree with that. Furthermore, it is indeed appropriate in God's providence that we would look at love is kind on the day that our country wants to draw our attention to mothers. We've all experienced the kindness of a mother's love. If nothing else, we can all attest to the fact that we had a mother who changed our soiled diapers and who fed us when we were hungry. The kindness of love. Dr. Zodiades pictures the first quality of love as retreating, and this second quality of love as being the attack after retreating. You're able to see by the outline there in your bulletin that I'm suggesting there are three points to be considered if we're going to get our hands around this aspect of love is kind. So to make it easy for those of you who fill in the blanks, the first is the word, the second is the when, and the third is the why. First, the word that is here translated kind. Paul is the only author in the New Testament who uses the verbal form of this word, and he uses it only in this verse. And it's important to recognize that it's in this verse that Paul uses the verbal form to be kind, because the verb reminds us of the inherently active nature of this quality of love that we're considering this morning. But in order for us to appreciate the richness of this word, I'm going to take us through scripture passages, verses that use this word, and hopefully we'll begin to understand how profound and how deep this word is. If you were to look at Luke chapter 5 and verse 39, you would find that this word has a mellowing aspect to it. This is the word that speaks about something which pervades and penetrates the whole nature of that in which it's found. And so there we find that wine which has mellowed by age is called, well, if we took it according to 1 Corinthians 13, kind. It's called better. If we look at Matthew chapter 11 and verse 30, we find again that this word speaks about a gentle and a friendly yoke. For it speaks about we who by the grace of God are in yoke with Jesus wear a yoke that is kind, is what it says in 1 Corinthians. Easy, more light is what we find in Matthew. The word speaks then of that mellowing effect, that making better by permeating. It speaks about a yoke that is not harsh nor galling, but easy. Paul would use this word in Romans chapter 11 and verse 22 to speak about that which the Gentiles will enjoy from God if they know Jesus to be their Savior. He speaks about Gentiles who love Jesus as enjoying God's kindness, God's making life easier, God's making them better. We find in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 3 through 10, where the Apostle Paul speaks about the hardships that he encounters in his life. We find in verse 6 that he brings together these twin qualities of love: kindness and patience. And he speaks about how they are part of his character as he goes through hardships. He can be long-suffering. He can be kind. And this shouldn't surprise us, because in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, he speaks about those who enjoy the salvation of God in Jesus Christ have clothed themselves with many qualities. And again, our two are there. We who are in Christ enjoy that clothing of patience, that garment of kindness. And certainly in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, he again puts these two words together with which he begins the fourth verse of 1 Corinthians 13. He puts together this matter of love suffers long and this matter of kindness. And he says, you know, when we know Jesus Christ, we are filled with the Holy Spirit so that these aspects of His fruit are manifested in our lives. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, the Word of God helps us appreciate this multifaceted nature of our word. But then if we look at Romans chapter 3 and the 12th verse, that chapter which sets before us the universality of the fallenness of the human race, Paul quoting from the 14th Psalm and the 3rd verse, our word is here translated good. There is no one who does good. There's our word. No, not one. And as I mentioned, he's quoting from the Old Testament Book of Psalms, the 14th chapter and the 3rd verse. And there in the Greek translation of that Old Testament passage, we find our word for the word tov in the Hebrew, for the word that's used over and over and over and over and over again in the Book of Psalms, the goodness of God, as He manifests His love to us, His faithful covenant love, His slow to anger love, manifests itself in goodness to us. And so, Paul will draw upon this idea of the Old Testament meaning of the word kindness, good, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, where he speaks about bad company corrupting good morals. We know what it's like when we're around bad people. We're not generally given to kindness. And often the adage, birds of a feather flock together. And unfortunately, when we find ourselves caught up in bad company, we're too much like a chameleon and we take on their corruption. So as I mentioned to the children, as we choose our friends, we want to choose those friends who look forward to the ingathering of the people of God on the Lord's Day, because those are the ones who are going to encourage us to have a right standing with God in Jesus Christ. So for all eternity, our friends will be our friends. The company that we keep here is the company that we look forward to being with there. Etymologically, we find the word connotes to take into use, serviceable, adapted to its purpose. The quality of this word rests in its makeup and its essence, not so much in its expression. But its expression reveals the nature and the character of the one expressing kindness. Dr. Zodiades points out, it is a goodness that seems to have only the harmlessness of the dove and nothing of the wisdom of the serpent. It is a goodness that has no edge, no sharpness in it. It's a constitutional goodness rather than goodness occasionally expressed. And so it refers to the character of a person. I think of a person who has sore muscles, and a person comes up and begins to massage those sore muscles. An expression of kindness, an expression that brings about goodness, right? It's kind that they see us in our pain and they want to help us. It's good as that pain begins to be alleviated from those tight and sore muscles. And we might even say, that's sweet. And so are some translations of this word where it's actually translated sweet. Love is sweet. Oh, how sweet this love is. And it doesn't surprise us then that in Romans 2 and verse 10, it's this quality of God's love as it permeates the world, it brings about repentance, change. All right. The word. Now, the when. And it's as important to appreciate the when of this word. When is it that loving kindness is to be manifested? Well, it comes out of that retreat that is spoken about in the first word of 1 Corinthians 13:4. When we are long-suffering, when we are being mistreated or persecuted for righteousness' sake or for Christ's sake, we don't become angry. The world suffers long, and it becomes grim, bitter, and full of self-pity. It wants revenge. When we endure as the children of God, because we are renewed to be conformed to Christ Jesus, as He endured the cross for your sake and mine, so we persevere under persecution. And we are lovingly suffering with a sense of the need and the unspoken pleading of humanity for salvation. To endure is more than a feat of sheer determination. It isn't stoic silence. It's not simply a retreat from others. Love suffers long, looking for a way to speak compassionately into the situation. So the story is told of a minister of the gospel who needed to put a line up in his backyard on which he would be able to hang diapers that needed to dry. And it's told that he takes a nail and he goes to the fence that divides his yard from his neighbor's, and he drives the nail into the fence, and the nail doesn't simply go into the fence, but it goes all the way through the fence. And he ties the one end of the line there, and he ties the other end of the line on a pole in his yard, and he hangs his diapers out there to dry. And he hears a racket in the backyard. And he wonders what's happening. And he goes out and he looks, and there upon the ground he finds the line and the diapers lying. And he realizes that the racket is because his neighbor had gotten a hammer. And he took the hammer to the end of the nail that was through the fence into his yard, and he smashed the nail so that it went through the fence and out into the air, and with it went the line and the diaper. And the minister confessed that initially he wanted to pick up the diapers and throw them into the neighbor's yard. And decided, no, I best not do anything. And the Holy Spirit began to work on him. And he realized something needed to be said. So he goes over to his neighbor and he asked his neighbor's pardon. Would you forgive me for driving the nail carelessly through the fence? Thank you for reminding me of the thoughtless act that I performed in driving that nail through the fence. Well, 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 the neighbor says as he shakes his hand, we'll say nothing more of the matter. A harsh word stirs up anger. But a gentle word brings about peace. When are we to show kindness? Every time we have had to retreat because someone has not treated us as image bearers of God, we ought to be treated. Kindness does not require us to be blind to cherish a habit of goodwill, ready to become pity if sorrow appears, and slow to turn away even if hostility appears. So says Alexander McLaren. And another preacher mentioned this. Do not keep the alabaster boxes of your affection sealed and laid away until your friends are dead. Fill their days with tenderness. Speak words of commendation while their ears can hear them. Finally, the why of love that is kind. Why must our love be kind, especially when we are suffering at the hands of sinners? Our love is to be kind because kindness is what God demonstrates toward the world, that repentance may occur. Or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads to repentance? And what is this kindness? Well, again, Jesus helps us in Luke 6 and verse 35, that portion of Luke's gospel wherein Jesus talks to us about our responsibility toward our enemies. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Jesus tells us we are to love our enemies as God loves His ungrateful, wicked enemies. In Titus chapter 3 and verses 3 through 8, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness of and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we may become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. You see, the kindness of God is the gospel. It's the good news of him who loved us when we were dead in our trespasses and sin. And he sent his only begotten Son, that his Son might bear the wrath that you and I deserve for our lack of gratitude and our wickedness. But he was kind. And Paul knew it. And Paul wrote about it in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 12 through 17. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now, to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Have you experienced, as the Apostle Paul did, that kindness of God unto your salvation? And if you haven't, I implore you this morning to cry out to God in Jesus Christ. Save me. Save me from my ingratitude and my wickedness. And for those of us who have experienced, as Paul did, that saving grace of God, may we love as we have been loved, as that kindness of God reached down unto us and drew us unto himself according to our need. May we be that kind of people, especially within the household of faith, that Jesus even says, unto our enemies as well. For that is the gospel that brings the world to her knees to kiss the Son, his wrath to turn. Love is kind. Amen. Father, thank you for this manifestation of kindness as it set forth for us in your inerrant, infallible word. May indeed your Spirit be pleased to work this grace into our lives so that it manifests the nature that we enjoy as new creations in Christ, the old gone, the new come, having put off the old, by your grace we wear long suffering and kindness in Christ Jesus. We give you thanks. Amen.